Good day, everyone, and welcome to the XPEL Fourth Quarter 2017 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Adrian De Los Santos. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Lisa, and welcome everyone to our call. Today's conference will be hosted by Rolando Subirán, XPEL's Chief Executive Officer, Bernardo García, Executive Director of Strategic Planning and Business Development, and myself, Chief Financial Officer. XPEL financial information, including our fourth quarter report, is available in our corporate website at xpelcorp.mx. Let me remind you that information discussed in this call may constitute forward-looking statements regarding future events or future financial performance of the company. These statements reflect management's current views, which are subject to different risks. Therefore, the company disclaims any obligation to update statements discussed in this call based on new information available. During our call today, results for full year 2016 will assume pro forma adjustments to make comparable figures against 2017 results. Now, let me turn the call over to Rolando Subirán for his initial remarks. Rolando, please.
Thank you, Adrian, and thanks to everyone for attending our call today. Before reviewing our financial results for the quarter, I would like to make some remarks about our consolidated business strategy, the conclusion of the merger and integration process, two relevant refinancing transactions concluded during the quarter, and our review for 2018, including major strategic projects currently underway. We are pleased with the financial performance of XPEL in the fourth quarter and full year. Our revenues in the quarter increased 13%, contributing to a 5% growth for the full year, despite negative contribution from the legacy wireless mass market business, which will be decommissioned in September this year. Revenues of our core enterprise and government segment, plus the FTTX mass market business, increased 9% during the year. The positive performance achieved in the last quarter validated our commitment to the strategy reinforced after the merger in February 2016, which consists in delivering IT and telecom solutions to the enterprise and government customers under the highest standards of quality and service. In the fourth quarter, enterprise and government revenues increased 18%. Also important to mention is the 8% increase in the acquisition rate of new enterprise segment projects in 2017, creating a solid base for our 2018 revenues. In the fourth quarter, of our merger and integration process was finalized. During this two-year process, we created EBITDA synergies of 1,500 million pesos and CAPEX synergies of $30 million. We concluded 2017 with an optimized organization, a defined set of company values, and a clear strategy focused on the enterprise and government segment, supported by a strong emphasis on innovation and efficiency. Although we will no longer classify expenses and benefits as merger accounts, we will continue focusing on increasing productivity and enhancing operational efficiency as fundamental elements of our continuous improvement project and our digital transformation program. In the fourth quarter, we successfully executed our refinancing strategy. In November last year, we issued a $500 million 7-year bond. And in December, we received a 6,000 million pesos 5-year loan. Proceeds from these two transactions were used to prepay the syndicated loan signed in January 2016. This refinancing program extended the average life of our debt from 2 to over 5 years and provided further covenant flexibility, maintaining the debt mix 1/3 in pesos and 2/3 in dollars. Prospects for the year 2018 are positive given the business pipeline from enterprise customers. Regarding government segment opportunities, we are taking a more conservative approach due to the uncertainty resulting from the presidential elections in July. We expect a slight increase in government recurrent revenues, but do not contemplate the same activity of non-recurrent one-time projects. In August 2018, we expect to discontinue providing services to the mass market segment using legacy wireless technologies, primarily WiMAX. Notwithstanding the sustained positive performance of the FTTX segment, we have made significant progress with our strategic review to maximize the value of this business unit. During 2017, an external firm performed a detailed analysis to carve out or separate the FTTX business from our core segment. Currently, the operational separation project is in progress. These activities allowed us to evaluate alternatives regarding the value contribution of this business in our hands or outside of sale. With the potential separation of this segment, we could concentrate our strategy in our core enterprise and government segment and use any potential proceeds to reduce our leverage. An evident benefit of the merger is the significant and robust fiber infrastructure of Axtel today. In this respect, we are optimizing the utilization of our network, which will result in a parallel metropolitan and backbone fiber network of approximately 13,000 kilometers that we could monetize. This process will require certain investments to optimize our traffic and to free up fiber strands. This project will not reduce our fiber network extension or capacity, but rather it will make available the relevant fiber-based network for a potential monetization project. We are convinced that the intrinsic value of Axtel assets today is larger than the cash flow or EBITDA we are currently generating. With that, Adrián will now make some additional remarks and present a summary of the operating and financial results of the quarter. Adrián?
Thank you, Rolando. And as previously mentioned, in the fourth quarter, we refinanced our debt with the 7-year bond and the peso loan without changing the existing peso-dollar debt mix. And to further reduce our foreign exchange exposure, we enter into additional forward contracts to fix the exchange rate for all our financial obligations in 2018. We will continue monitoring market conditions in order to maintain a 12 to 18 month hedging strategy of our financial obligations. In the fourth quarter, we were successful collecting receivables from enterprise and government customers. This effort, together with a disciplined CapEx program, contributed to the generation of a positive cash flow from operations in the year. We will maintain our focus on cash flow generation and consequently reducing our leverage as a priority. Our goal is to reduce our net leverage ratio to 2.5 net debt to EBITDA by year 2020. Before discussing our financial results, I would like to talk about our guidance for the year. We estimate a CapEx of $174 million. Approximately 76% of this amount is success-based CapEx to be used in enterprise and government projects. We are also contemplating $30 million of CapEx for the FTTX business, as well as a $16 million CapEx reserve for the renewal of certain point-to-point spectrum frequencies. In 2018, we expect revenues of 15,700 million pesos and an EBITDA of 5,330 million pesos. I will now review our financial results for the fourth quarter and full year 2017. Total revenues increased 13%, mostly explained by an 18% increase in our core enterprise and government segment revenues. Enterprise and government segment represented 83% of revenues in the quarter. For the year, revenues increased 5% pro forma, strongly supported by an 8% growth in the enterprise and government segment revenues. Enterprise segment revenues increased 7% in the quarter, resulting from a 2% growth in telecom service revenues and a strong 45% increase from IT services revenues. For the full year, enterprise segment revenues increased 5%. Regarding telecom service revenues from enterprise customers, voice revenues declined 11% in the quarter, explained by reductions in fixed-to-mobile, measure service, and international long-distance revenues. Data and internet revenues increased 12% year over year, accumulating also 12% growth for the full year. And revenues from managed network services increased 2% in the quarter, as 11 and 16% increases in Ethernet-based solutions and collaboration services, respectively, compensated a 10% decline in managed services. IT revenues from enterprise customers increased 45%, explained by positive performance in system integration, security, and cloud solutions vis-a-vis fourth quarter 2016. The contribution from voice revenues represented only 21% in the quarter, compared to 26% in the fourth quarter of 2016, reflecting the result of our strategy to shift the balance in our revenue mix towards IT and value-added services. Within the government segment, fourth quarter results were very positive, posting a 69% increase, explained by a 14% increase in recurrent revenues and over 300% increase in non-recurrent revenues. For the year, recurrent revenues increased 8% compared to 2016, whereas one-time revenues increased slightly over 100%. Within the government segment, telecom revenues increased 135%. Voice-related revenues increased 12%. Data and internet increased 3%. And managed network revenues increased almost 300% in the quarter, mostly explained by the non-recurrent one-time revenues. Government IT revenues increased 16% in the quarter. Concerning our mass market segment, revenues declined 5%, resulting from the combination of 11% growth in revenues from fiber-connected customers and a 38% decline in revenues from legacy wireless technology. Fiber-related revenues increased 15% in 2017 compared to previous year. Our cost of revenue, excluding depreciation and amortization charges, increased 59% due to the lower margin nature of certain non-recurring revenues and the reclassification of certain maintenance expenses to cost in 2017. Excluding non-recurring revenues and the effect from the reclassification of maintenance expenses into cost increased 12%, explained by the increasing recurrent government segment costs. Contribution margin was 71% in the quarter compared to 79% in the fourth quarter of the year earlier, mostly explained by a decline in the margin of government segment revenues to the large proportion of non-recurring revenues. Concerning operating expenses, we reported a 3% decrease compared to year earlier quarter.
In the fourth quarter, we registered 236 million pesos of merger-related expenses. Excluding merger-related items, expenses declined 6% compared to fourth quarter 2016. As mentioned earlier, we will not record any merger or integration expenses in the future, nor keep any track of EBITDA synergies. Notwithstanding, we're embracing a long-term project to increase the productivity of Axtel and maintain our competitiveness in the market. EBITDA in the fourth quarter was 1,450 million pesos, including a 345 million pesos benefit from the tower sale transaction. Excluding the tower sale benefit and merger-related expenses, EBITDA would have been 1,341 million pesos, 13% higher than the comparable number in the fourth quarter of 2016. CapEx in the fourth quarter was $41 million compared to $45 million in the fourth quarter of 2016. Cash reserves totaled $72 million at the end of the quarter, or $64 million excluding restricted cash, compared to $40 million excluding restricted cash at the beginning of this period. Concerning interest expenses, the fourth quarter figure includes a 92 million pesos one-time non-cash charge due to the early amortization of all fees and expenses incurred in the 2016 syndicated loan, which was prepaid in the period. As of the end of the quarter, total debt was $1,045 million, and the ratio of net debt to EBITDA was 3.4, or 3.6 times excluding non-recurring merger expenses and the benefit from tower sale transaction. During the year, we effectively paid down 427 million pesos in debt. With this, we're happy to take your questions. Lisa, if you could please open the call for Q&A.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute option is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, everyone, that is star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. Our first question comes from Alejandro Galastro with BBVA. Alejandro, your line is open. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was mute. Good morning, Rolando and Adrian. Thank you very much for the call. I believe that you said that this fourth quarter should be the last one with merger-related costs. I just wanted to confirm that, and also to confirm if this would also be the last quarter with revenues related to the sale of towers, and if not, if you could quantify them, please.
Good morning, Alejandro. Yes, there will be no further merger-related expenses in 2018 and going forward. And regarding the tower sale transaction, we expect over 100 million pesos this year, probably in the first or second quarter. That would be the last part of the transaction.
Thank you, Adrian. And my second question is related to your relationship with Altán. I would like to get an update on this relationship and perhaps to quantify the revenues that you expect for 2018, please.
Okay. Altán, we have a three-way relationship with them. This is Bernardo Garcia. Good morning, Alejandro. We are partners in the company. We are also going to be customers to our NDNA and platform for NDNOs. And also, we are a supplier. Revenues for this year as a supplier are going to be in line with the support we're providing to them for the first phase of the of Altán, and it will be around 280 to 300 million pesos, more or less, for this year. And the relationship with them is great. We are fully committed to support Altán deployment and growth in the market.
So overall, you expect 280 to 300 million pesos for 2019. That's what you said?
280 to 300 for this year, based on the contracts we already have with them, but the relationship continues to expand.
And what's the type of margin that you will get from these revenues? The EBITDA margin, I mean.
That's similar to our enterprise services we have. We don't have a specific amount to disclose, but it's a normal service.
So is it fair to assume that the margin is similar to the margin that you are currently reporting as a consolidated business?
As Bernardo mentioned, the margin, Alejandro, it's in the high 70s as the telecom-based services for enterprise customers.
And is this the gross margin or EBITDA margin?
That's the gross margin. We don't separate EBITDA by product or by service. So we calculate the gross margin of the product.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alejandro.
Our next question comes from Carlos Lagarreta with GBM.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. The first question would be related to the new termination rates for 2018. Could you quantify the effect, if it's positive or negative for Axtel? Thank you.
Well, what I can tell you, Carlos, is that, yes, we have made some calculations, and although we understand that there is a dispute going over the interconnection rates determined by IFETEL, we have made the calculations, and the net effect is positive. Although it's not too relevant for us, it is on the positive side, combining the Telmex, the preponderant interconnection rate, and the new mobile interconnection rate with the other mobile operators.
Okay, thank you very much. And for the second question, so you mentioned that government-related revenues, the recurrent part is 8% year over year. I was wondering if the enterprise segment has any non-recurring revenues that we should also consider going forward, and what is the amount? Thank you.
Hi, Carlos. This is Adrián again. The enterprise segment or corporate clients do have a non-recurrent, but it's very small. It's less than 5%. Probably 4% would be a number to take into consideration, but it's no more than that at all.
No more than 12?
4%.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And we'll move on to our next question from Enrique Morado with Aberdeen Asset Management.
Hello. Good afternoon or good morning. Two questions from my side. One would be on working capital. Can you provide a bit of color on the movements you've seen in receivables, inventories, and payables over the last quarter? It seems to be they've all been cash inflows, which helped your cash flows for the quarter. And then the second question would be just on cash taxes. I do realize that your net income for the full year was low, but just want to understand in terms of cash taxes, how much have you paid in 2017? Thank you.
Yes, good morning. In the fourth quarter, as we mentioned, we were very successful collecting from receivables. We ended the year with a positive working capital of approximately $4-5 million. The reduction in accounts receivable was due to that effort and the result from positive collections, and the increase that we saw in accounts payable during the fourth quarter. It's in part related to the non-recurrent government projects that some of the costs associated with those projects were not effectively paid in December, were paid into January and February. And second, also in the fourth quarter, we made a reserve or provision for personal related expenses that was part of the merger expenses that will be concluded or that these adjustments will be made in the redundancy will be made during January and February. So that's the part of the working capital in the quarter. And concerning cash taxes, we paid in 2017 cash taxes of $4 million. As you know, we have, Axtel has over 10 billion pesos of NOLs. So we were very efficient in that respect, but so that was the result for 2017, and we estimate a similar number for 2018.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Martin Lara with Interacciones Securities.
Hi, good morning. Could you please provide us the guidance for this year?
Yes. Hi, Martin. Revenues for 2018 will be 15,700 million pesos, and EBITDA 5,330 million pesos. And also CAPEX will be $174 million, and as we mentioned before, that CAPEX number includes $16 million related to the renewal of point-to-point spectrum frequencies that are coming due the second semester of this year.
Okay, and free cash flow?
We estimate the free cash flow for approximately $25 million for the year.
A positive, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you, Adrian. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin.
Our next question comes from Adrian Garcia with Invesco.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I had a question regarding... Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Ah, my apologies. Yes, I just wanted to ask a question regarding your, you have already mentioned your interest in selling the residential segment of the business. So I wanted to see if you can provide us an update as to where that stands.
What I can tell you is that first step that we have already taken is to separate the business, as we have already mentioned. So we have made a carve-out, and we have used some professional services from an international auditing firm. So this is work in progress. So we will have two main divisions totally separated. Our core business, which is the enterprise and government segment, on one side, which represents around 83% of our total business, and the remaining part, which is the residential and micro-business segment, what we call the FTTX business. So once that we have carved out this division, we are exploring different scenarios and alternatives of how to maximize the benefits to our shareholders of the division. So we are not discarding the possibility of joining forces with someone else or selling the division or continue managing the division on ourselves. Because the division is representing all the fiber to the business and fiber to the house. And this is a very, very attractive segment of our operation. The other thing is that it's not related to our core business. That's the only reason why we are exploring different scenarios and different valuations of how to monetize and extracting the most value out of this division.
Do you have a valuation in mind for the business that you can share?
Sure. What we can tell you is that this division is generating an EBITDA between 650 and 700 million pesos on a yearly basis. And we know that this type of business has a valuation that could be calculated as a multiple between 8 to 9, 9.5 times EBITDA.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, Adrian.
As a reminder, everyone, that is star one to ask a question. We'll take our next question from Gilberto Garcia with Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. You mentioned that you were successful during the quarter in terms of collections. Can you provide an update on the balance of the account payable due to Alfa?
Good morning, Gilberto. Yes, we were successful in the quarter, although the collection effort for that specific set of accounts receivable did not increase significantly in the quarter. Currently, we have collected accumulated basis 75 million pesos.
Okay, so the balance of that account payable then is around 900 million pesos, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, it remains the same, 984 million pesos, has not changed until the end of this year when we will make the final adjustment, if any, based on collection.
And would you settle the account this year as well or next year?
Well, the effective settlement or payment of that is something that will have to be discussed at the time with Alfa.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Gilberto.
Our next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva with Merrill Lynch.
Thank you. Good morning, Rolando, Adrian. My question is related to leverage. Adrian, you mentioned that you expect to have 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA by 2020. And I was just wondering if this is on an organic basis or you're taking into account potential asset disposals.
No, that's on an organic basis. We think that towards the end of that year, we should come down to that net debt to EBITDA leverage ratio. And if any of the monetization projects that we mentioned come to fruition or executed, we probably will deliver sooner than that time.
Understood. Thank you. And I was wondering if you could comment about your MVNO project. When would you expect to launch it? Any color that you can give on that respect would be helpful. Thank you.
Sure, Rodrigo. This is Fernando. The MVNO project will be it's twofold. First is we're creating a factory of MVNOs that will be working jointly with Altan's initial operation that will be ready to enable new MVNOs after that time. We are right now prospecting to invite potential MVNOs in the market. And the second aspect of that is to provide mobile services to our own enterprise customers, and that is the MVNO of Axtel. That we expect to have it ready by the end of the year or beginning of next year.
Understood, but then you're not planning to do a mass market MVNO, right?
Well, that's a possibility, and that is contingent to the result of the other project, the monetization of the FTTX.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Arturo Linga with Itaú BBA.
Yes, good morning, Rolando. Good morning, Adel. Thank you for taking my question. Just in terms of the revenue guidance you provided, if I understood correctly, it's 15.7 billion pesos, which is about 1% higher than the revenue posted for 2017. And I was wondering if you could provide more detail on how you're thinking about that figure, if maybe the flattish growth is due to the decommissioning of WiMAX, or maybe you also mentioned being more conservative in the government segment. So if you could just provide more detail on how you reach that number, it would be helpful. Thank you.
Yes, Arturo. The revenue guidance, as you said, it contemplates a decline in the wireless business. Wireless revenues in 2017 represented 750 million pesos. We estimate that in 2018 it will come down to approximately 300 million pesos. So that's a negative net of 400-450 million pesos. Also, government, as we mentioned in 2017, recorded significant non-recurrent revenues. So if we separate the recurrent and non-recurrent, we estimate a low growth for the recurrent, given that we are conservative in our estimates for the year. But definitely on the non-recurrent, we don't expect any growth, but rather we expect a decline. So overall, the government segment revenues will come down somewhere from 250 to 300 million pesos in the year. So those two effects combined with the growth of 8-9% on the enterprise segment is what makes up the revenue growth for the year. So in summary, the core revenues will be improving. We have a strong pipeline for the enterprise segment. Government recurrent revenues will also we expect small increase, and just the low margin non-recurrent government revenues we expect a decline, and the negative effect of the decommission of WiMAX in the third quarter of the year will have the effect on the revenues, obviously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Arturo.
Our next question comes from Martin Lara with Intersonius Securities.
Hi, Adrian. One additional question on the mass business. Does it have any debt?
Martin, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was asking you about the debt in the residential business. Is there any debt there?
No, there are no debts assigned to the residential business. Martin, this is Bernardo. But as Orlando mentioned before, the net proceeds from a potential sale to be used to reduce the net leverage of Axtel.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Our next question comes from Enrique Morado with Aberdeen Asset Management.
Hi, just a follow-up question on actually the potential asset sale and also the Moody's rating, which has been on a negative outlook. I think it's going to be 12 months in April. So I'm just wondering if you could do if you could give us some color on the discussions, because it feels like organically with this kind of free cash flow generation, it will take you a very long time to reach your target. So the asset sale seems critical here. Are they giving you any sort of timing to execute, or not so much? Thank you.
Well, the we have an ongoing dialogue with rating agencies. We have that negative outlook, as you mentioned, with Moody's. We think that the results are strong. 2017 results are strong and positive. The 12 month period that you mentioned, it's up to them to decide what action to take. But we're confident that the cash flow and the results will help us to improve the outlook and perception of the risk with respect to rating agencies. The rating agencies are not forcing Axtel at all to divest or anything. These transactions are based on maximizing shareholder value, and part of that value maximization goes in line with our delevering objective. So that's the reason why we are analyzing these potential monetization projects.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Carlos Legarreta with GBM.
Hi, thank you. Just in anticipation of the phasing out of the WiMAX business, should we expect any write-off related to that during the year? Thank you.
No, Carlos, not for respect to the infrastructure or assets. Really, all these assets have a zero value in our books. So no, there's no effect in that regard.
That's perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that concludes the question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Rolando Spirin for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in our call today. And as always, we'll be more than happy to take your calls if you have any further follow-on questions. Thank you and have a good day.
And that concludes today's presentation. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.